하여. First of all, I would like to say that yoga is something that you enjoy every minute. There's no serious business behind yoga. And so don't put a morose, castor oil face. Just be happy, be relaxed. Life is to enjoy. We are the products of happiness. And we should be happy always. And one of the main purposes of yoga is that to let us enjoy the life every minute in every way, in every place. The Hindu scriptures, when they try to define the absolute God, Brahman, they say Anandam Brahma. Anandam means supreme, unending, unalloyed bliss. Already I am confusing probably. We are here to talk about yoga and I am talking something about religion and scripture. That itself raises a question. Is yoga another religion? Many, many people ask this question. People who don't believe in religion, they say, if yoga is a religion, we don't want it. We are non-believers. A few months back, I was fortunate enough to join a group of people to visit Russia. And I was talking to some of the Russian Orthodox monks at one of their monasteries. And of course we had to go through interpreters. There was a lady given to us by the travel agency to interpret us. And during the conversation, I casually asked the monk, how is the attendance at the churches? And he said that before the war, it was not that much. But soon after the war, the attendance increased tremendously. Then I asked him, don't you think then the war is a sort of blessings in disguise? Because it made people become aware of God. Is that not why there is a saying, adversities are blessings in disguise? As I was telling him, he was waiting for the translation, but this lady got a little disturbed, because when I said, war is a sort of blessing in disguise, And God worked mysteriously to make people think of God. So instead of translating, she immediately looked up at me and said, "We don't believe in that. We are non-believers." Sort of a little vehemently. I said, "Young lady, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. But I would like to know, what is it that you do not believe? You say you are a non-believer. I would like to know, what is it that you do not believe?" She went completely blank for a few minutes. She didn't know what to say. Then I said, "Don't worry, I will answer for you. You don't believe in going to the church?" "Oh yes, yes, we don't believe." "You don't believe in reading Bible?" "No." "You don't believe in all these rituals?" "No." At least she had a few points to say. "Yes." "No, no, no." So that's fine. "So you don't believe in all those things?" "Yes, we don't believe." "But don't you believe in people loving each other?" "Yeah." "Don't you believe in friendship, brotherhood?" "Yeah." Then I slowly pricked her with a term that is very common in their philosophy. "Don't you believe in comradeship?" "Oh yes." She was little. "So you believe in something, is it not?" Now she didn't know what to say. Earlier she said she's an unbeliever. Now she says, "Yes, I believe in something." Then I told her, "What you are really believing in is the true religion. Other things are superficial, decorative. It doesn't matter whether you go to a church, read a Bible or not. You believe in brotherhood of the humanity. You believe in comradeship. You believe in loving each other. That is the basic religion. If that is not there, all the rest is nothing. But this is a life. When you believe in these things, I would say you are a believer of the real religion, true religion. Don't you agree with me?" "I guess so." And even the priest was so happy in hearing that. If we understand this point, is yoga religion or not? It is a religion. But not it is another religion. Yoga is not another, one more to add fire to the existing problems. Instead, yoga is the religion. If you call anything religion, it is mainly the yogic principles that is hidden in that religion, that's laid as the foundation of that religion. As such, the foundation of all the so-called various religions is one and the same. And that is what we present as yoga. Loving one another, Because you cannot have yoga without love. Yoga means to be together, to have communion. Often people say, oh, yoga is only oriental. You can get it only in India. It's an Indian stuff imported here. Yeah, some people who are not quite happy with the yoga, and they also have their good reasons not to be happy. I admit that, because in the name of yoga, we do a lot of opposite things. So naturally, just as people lose faith in religion, people lose faith in yoga too. So to them, I would like to say it is not an exported stuff or an imported stuff from India. If you don't have yoga already, you don't have to have Indian yoga either. Yoga is only a Sanskrit word. The meaning of yoga is union. So in a way, you are importing union from India, but you have already a better union among you. That you call communion. In the Western world, we have communion. Not even simple union. You should know the difference between just union and communion. To translate communion into Sanskrit, we should say not just yoga, we should say samyoga. Not something, samyoga, but sam, full. Purna yoga, complete union. So you even seem to have a better yoga, samyoga. So it's not an imported stuff. The only thing is that because of that yogic thoughts, you are delving deep into your own scriptures and bringing those same stuff outside. You have it already. You have not dug enough. So the Eastern yoga simply helps you to understand your own faith well. That is the reason why when a person gets involved in yoga, he is not converted. He or she is a better Christian, better Catholic, better Jew. He is better of everything. And not only the Western, even in the Eastern side, even a Hindu becomes a better Hindu if he knows yoga. Just because many people did not know yoga much, even the Hindus fight among themselves. If a person worships Lord God as Shiva, he is an enemy to the other fellow who worships God as Vishnu. They kill each other. There is always great wars and arguments between Saivites and Vaishnavites. They both worship same God under different labels. So yoga goes to the very essence. Now, even if you don't worry about God and God realization, yoga doesn't bother about it. Yoga says, don't worry about that. You don't even have to think of God. You just be a yogi. Become a good yogi. Then you will know what God is if you want to know. That is the beauty of yoga. Particularly the scripture that presents, that's an authority on the yogic thoughts. is as almost every one of you know, Patanjali Yoga Sutra. I heard that you are going to have some workshops on that also here. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. It's a pure psychology for excellence. It's a pure science. It doesn't worry much about supernatural things, about God, though occasional mentions about the vibhuti, the siddhis. At the same time, they say, this is not the aim of yoga. These are all byproducts, all the so-called siddhis. All your thought transferences, telepathy, television. These are all byproducts. Whether you want it or not, you will get it. But the real yoga doesn't stop here. If you are aiming to a high octane, 100% gasoline, aviation, we don't get stuck with your tar and diesel. The refinery goes all the way up to the super gas. But these byproducts are there already. Likewise, all these siddhis are nothing but just byproducts. Your interest is in the super gas, super spirit, high octane. And that's what Patanjali says. He spends one whole chapter about vibhuti. Vibhuti means siddhis, supernatural. And then towards the end say, all these are trash. In one word, he spends so much time in explaining everything. You get this, you get this, you get that, all this. And people get fascinated by this. When you go to the last sutra, they say, all these are trash. Because they are there to bind you, they will limit you, they will hold you from going further up. Your ultimate aim is something very different. These are all mental factors, all within the realm of mind. But you have to transcend that. You can make the mind crystal clear. He uses the very same word, crystal clear. Mani, they call it. Absolutely. Crystal is, it has no color of its own. It's pure. But whatever comes closer, it seems to be temporarily taking that color. You put a rose next to a crystal, the crystal becomes rose. Rosy crystal. Bring a violet, it becomes violet crystal. But keep all the colors away, the crystal is clear. Absolute purity. He calls it kaivalya. Kaivalya means, kevala is the root. Kevala means nothing. Simply pure. No attributes, no colors, no covers. Colorless, coverless, odorless, tasteless, distilled. What you call distilled water? Odorless, colorless, is distilled water. That is, if the mind could be made that way, then you are a true, genuine yogi. Kaivalya is the goal. Absolute purity of mind. I just use the word without even thinking, the purity of mind. Because it is the very same thing said in Bible. A Western yogic scripture, Bible. At one place, the Bible clearly specifies the one and only requirement to experience God, to see God. Where is it? It is set as one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. They, only they, shall see God. It did not say, blessed are those who built beautiful churches. Blessed are those who printed 10,000 Bibles and distributed to all the hotel rooms. I don't say you should not do it. You have money, do it. But suppose people don't have money. How can they build church? How can they print Bible? It did not say, blessed are those who knew Bible from the first letter to the last letter, by heart. No. Even illiterates can see God by just keeping them heart pure. All the people who became later saints, who followed Jesus, how many of them were MA, PhDs? All those, the 12 apostles who followed Jesus, are they literates? Are there any titles? Any PhDs? Almost every one of them was an illiterate. They were ordinary, simple fishermen, right? And I go one step further. They didn't even know how to catch fish. If they knew how to catch fish and made a successful business out of it, they wouldn't have followed him. Means they are neither literates nor even good fishermen. They were just ordinary illiterate folks. But simply because they just followed a great sage, a great prophet, with the heart of a child. They became saints. Blessed are the pure in heart. Purity of heart is the one and only requirement to see God. Bible says so, Patanjali says so. Yeah. But Patanjali didn't say, talk about God. He said, keep yourself pure, then you will know what happens to you. You become pure, you will know what it is. Buddha said that. Many people who seem to be following Buddhism or Lord Buddha's teaching seem to say, oh, Buddha denied God. He didn't say anything about God. Buddhism is Nirishwaravadi. That means non-God religion. I totally disagree with that. Buddha is another great yogi. If you could read Buddha, Dhammapada, and other teachings of Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths are given in Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Patanjali uses four words. Heyam, Heyahetu, Hanam, Hanopayam. These are the four words he uses. What is Heyam? What is Heyahetu? What is Hanam? What is Hanupayam? which is exactly like Buddha. Buddha said, pain or suffering, cause of suffering. Heyam, heyahetu. Hanam, avoidance of the suffering. And then Hano Upayam, how to avoid it. The method to avoid it. These are the four noble truths of Buddha. It looks like somebody copied somebody. But truth need not be copied by somebody. It's everybody's property. If you just go into that state, it gets revealed to you. No prophet need to copy the other prophet. He gave the Ten Commandments as Dasa Sila. What is said as Ten Commandments in Bible, in Judaism, Christianity and Judaism takes Ten Commandments. It's Moses brought Ten Commandments. Dasa Sila, Ten Virtues, talks about in Buddhism. For the layman, Pancha Sila, five. For the ardent seeker, Ten Virtues, Dasa Sila. And Patanjali talks about Yama Niyama, ten again. Five Yamas and five Niyamas. Ahimsa, Satya, Steya, Brahmacharya, Parigraha, Saucha, Santosha, Tapaswadhyaya, Ishwara, Pranidhana. Then, even the numbers agree. These are the foundation. And Lord Buddha didn't talk much about God as Patanjali. Why? Because it's useless to talk about God. You cannot talk about God. It's a fact. We create more problem to God and to ourselves by talking about God. You know that? The world fact, historical fact, proves that in the name of God and in the name of religion, more people were destroyed. If anything has killed more number of people, it is this. God, in the name of God and religion, not is even the natural calamities, earthquakes, floods, hunger, war, World War I, II, no. They didn't kill this many people. That's why they didn't bother to talk about God. God is something you experience. You can sit together. The whole night we can talk about sleep. Can you understand what sleep is? No. We can talk about sleep. The only way to understand sleep is to sleep. Experience. Not simply talking. That's why Buddha didn't talk about God. Hindu scriptures proclaim this truth. They say, oh, avang manasa gocharam. You cannot talk about it. You cannot even grasp it. A Tamil saint shouts from the rooftop, vasittu konunnadadu, vaivittu kurunnadadu, yosittu parunnadadu. He says, what? You cannot read and know God. You cannot think and know God. You cannot talk and know God. And that's what we are doing.